my next step after that big mess up, my action and results were 10 times more powerful and strategically driven. And I saw the most growth. I saw, if you want to say what the energetic girlies say, like a quantum leap after that mess up. And if that didn't occur, I wouldn't be here right now. I'm Natasha Zorick, 2-time founder and self-made millionaire. This podcast is home to female founders, creatives, and change makers. If you're aspiring to think bigger and earn bigger, then you're in the right place. Get ready to tune into some honest takes on this crazy journey we call entrepreneurship. Hello and welcome back. In today's episode, I'm going to do a hot take on top 5 ways I have entirely messed up in my business big time. This is going to be an episode to pull the curtains back and say, hi, hello, yes, I'm a 7-figure mentor, 2-time founder, and I have fucked up so many times, just like every other 7-figure earner, just like every other CEO, just like every other human being. And if I can do one thing, it's to pull the curtains back and be as honest and transparent about this crazy journey we call entrepreneurship. That's why I made it my intro and my outro, because it's true. The last thing I want to do is feed you a freaking crock of shit about, oh my God, such a highly real, like all these sales, such an organized type A girly, always having fun, yada, yada. No, girl, I be down in the dumps, dragged through the mud. I be fucking up left, right, and center. And I just want to keep it a buck with you. I'm just keeping it a buck. I go through it. I fuck up. I am right there with you. You are not alone. This is expected. And I want to normalize that. I wish more founders were this honest when I would binge podcasts or people's emails and YouTube videos when I was starting out. And I was like reading all the books of like, how does one become an entrepreneur? And everyone, I'm like, wow, this sounds so beautiful and glorified and no issues like you have in the office. No, you have so much more. And there's so much more pressure and there's so much more room for failures and fuck ups. And guess what? When you actually do mess up, you feel so much more worse because it's on you. It's all your fault. Even if it's your team member, you have to take, you know, that one to the chin because you're the leader, you're the founder, and a leader takes that and never, ever undermines their team. None of that. So my number one big mess up is going to date back to, this was the beginning of 2021. Now, these are not in order of chronological, of like the time or the year, but the first one I'm going to talk about, and if you know, you know, if you were in this round of no figures to 6 figures, which is my signature at the time, 6-week group program, now 8, I promised the ladies that I was going to give them a custom goodie box. Okay. And I said, yeah, like, oh my gosh, when you sign up, you are getting a goodie box sent to you. I even went as far as hiring and outsourcing custom on-brand bath bombs, where one was called Dash of Oat Milk, and it was literal oat milk with a manifestation crystal. Had oats on top. It was so aesthetic. At the time, I was like a dash of oat milk girly. And then the second one was a money manifestation one with a jade crystal. And it was just had this whole like scent and it was a vibe. It was on brand. Okay. And I went that far. I was bigging it up, talking it up. Every single one I had my sister come over. She helped me map out and like purchase everything for the goodie box. We created 25 boxes because that's how many girls I got in that round. You want to know what I fucking did? I didn't send out a single box. Those motherfucking boxes sat in my office for months. Fun fact, I have recently found, undiagnosed, might I say, but I know I have it. And like, I don't really want to go get diagnosed because I don't want to go on pills, but undiagnosed ADD. One of the things that I struggle with is, for example, I still haven't taken my winter tires off. I'm in Canada. Girl, we're fast approaching the winter season. So I went all season with my winter tires on. Those tasks are daunting to me. As much as I'm so organized, my house is like spick and span. I'm type A. There's certain tedious tasks like switching a phone plan or going to the post office to deliver something, or even picking up a package at a post office. No, like I'm so bad. That feels so much heavier than it is. And I play this thing in my head that it's going to be so painful. There's going to be mishaps. It's just a thing. And then I've recently realized it's a part of the ADD. And, or you know what? I'm just blaming it on that. I'm letting it be the excuse. That's the story I'm telling myself. Okay. I've done research on it, so I've gripped onto that research. But those damn goodie boxes were in my freaking office, and I was like, I can't send them out. And I was literally thinking of hiring a TaskRabbit to ship them out for me. But then, like, when I came to terms, it was like months after the program, I was like, listen, girls, I sent an email. I said, the goodie box debacle, you aren't getting them. Love you to death, but unfortunately those boxes are not going to see the light. They're not going to come see you. They're not going to be at your doorstep. They are being taken apart, and I'm going to, you know, source them in other ways. And I sent every single person a Starbucks gift card as a sorry, and I just like laughed at myself. I made humor of it. I was really honest. I was transparent. I didn't lie. I didn't make some like excuse of why they weren't being sent out. I just kept it a buck. Okay. I just kept it a buck, and I gave them something in return. I had people responding laughing, and they're like, it's okay. We got so much out of the program anyways. Like, it's totally fine. So it turned into a funny moment. Not my greatest moment, but you know, I laugh at it now. It be what it be. Number two, okay, of my biggest mess ups in my business. This one's so embarrassing. This is so embarrassing. Okay. So this one's so embarrassing. So I was launching Who Remembers or Who Was Around for Passive Profits. This was 2020. And I can't believe, like, sometimes it's so funny to laugh at myself. You can't take business too seriously. I spelt my launch, like my name of my launch, incorrectly in the logo. I had like Prime and Prevail, and I spelt Prevail wrong, and I didn't notice for 5 days. I had it all over the sales page. I was sending everyone, it was all over my stories. And then one of my biz besties, Steph, was like, bitch, do you realize the word Prevail is spelt wrong? And I was like, you're joking. No one wanted to tell me. You guys are all frauds. How dare you? But I was so embarrassed. But you want to know what too? I crushed it in the launch, but not a single person wanted to call me out. That is so unprofessional. If my driver buyer ass saw that on someone's profile, the way right away, I'm like, she's not an authority. She's literally illiterate. Bye. Like, I'd be so hypocritical. Like, that's so hypocritical. But I quite literally spelt my program name wrong, and I launched it for 5 days without noticing. That's so embarrassing. So number three now. Oh, that one's a bad one. But number three, this is a more serious one. And I think you can relate to this. I know tons of entrepreneurs that have admitted this to me one-on-one in private, but they haven't talked about it. But I'm just going to break this topic open. I'm going to be the one to admit that this happens. And if you say it doesn't, especially in your beginner journey and beginner days in entrepreneurship, I'm sorry, but you're lying. You're lying. Especially if your model is very based around one-on-one, you is lying if you say you have never taken on too many clients and then burned yourself out, because I sure have. I was burnt out from my client roster, okay? Not that I didn't start showing up effectively or like letting things slip through the cracks and I wasn't being a good service provider or mentor, but internally I was battling with so much resistance and burnout. And I've actually talked to some of my students before. I've talked with other fellow biz besties and just friends in the industry. And they call it the fear of Voxer, where your stomach drops and you avoid Vox like the plague, because you know you have countless messages waiting for you. And you have to answer like six questions in 2 minutes and then there's going to be boop, like beep, beep, beep. They're beeping at you. And it's like, it's never ending. Everyone needs a question answered. Everyone needs six problems solved at once. And then you have no time for your business and you finish the day. It's 5 p.m. all of a sudden. And you're like, what the fuck have I done besides just answer questions on Vox and diffuse everyone else's problems but my own? And you might be sitting there on one side of being like, Girly Pop, you are sounding very ungrateful. You were booked out. Like, wow, that's a problem you once dreamed of. And you're right. You're literally right. But I've been there where the way I formulated and laid out my mastermind with my one-on-one, holy shit, it was too much. My mastermind was basically like a glorified one-on-one package. And I booked that bitch out. So when I was deep in it, I was faced with that because when I started my mentorship, I actually was not going to do any one-on-one. I just didn't think that was for me. But then I did open up 3 spots that sold out in less than 5 hours when I first announced it. And then I started my mastermind shortly after. And that's when I had 14 clients. And then I had another program running. So at that point, I think I had 48 clients or a little bit more at one point. And even though the group ones, you can make that swing, it's not as daunting. The way I was mentoring at that moment, I was still giving so much, even if in the group program, I wasn't supposed to. So I ended up just burning myself out and stretching myself thin because I wanted to show up so much and really be that incredible mentor. And not a single one of those clients would have known that I was burnt out, but I was so drained. And it just like really validated my lack of desire for straight up like one-on-one business model. I offer one-on-one now. It is like my favorite container or one of them. I love it because I have been so picky. I only accept 3 people at once and I've honed in on my framework. I've honed in on my mentoring, my boundaries, and it's turned into the most incredible, nourishing, fulfilling offer. So before it was very, very, very different. Now it is so streamlined. I got all the SOPs. I've seen incredible results for my clients in there. So yeah, very different, but that's through experience, right? That can only happen through figuring out what you don't love. Now, I just want to be very honest there. I feel like a lot of people do not keep it a buck on that sense. And they're like, I'm always like happy go lucky. When I'm booked out, I'm happy. No, bitch, you're burnt out. Keep it a buck. Like, please be honest. Just be honest, because it's so normal to go through that. And I just want you to know, if you are feeling that or you have felt that, or when you do feel it, you're not alone.
Put your hand up if you've ever felt victimized by the online industry and all of its rule books that are thrown at you. Scale this way, do this to get 10K a month, don't do that or else you won't be seen as an authority. Hey, try this because it made me a multi six-figure earner. Hi, hello, try this way instead because it's actually now more trendy. Think outside of the box, but don't be confusing or too outside of the box. It's all just so exhausting, right? Yeah, Natasha thought the exact same thing. So she sought out to combat these lingering and undeniable feelings through a never-before-seen, year-long experiment. She wanted to lead in an audacious way and turn this small decision into a culture-shaping moment so that female founders can step into more of a self-led business model. The SparkNotes version of this experiment is that Natasha came to the realization that what once worked for her no longer served her. The 2 businesses she had scaled to multi-six figures, using the mainstream marketing methods. But as she kept facing seasons of extreme burnout, they were just not cutting it anymore. So she stopped all mass content creation, dedicated to finding alternative marketing methods for 1 whole year. And in 2021, she scaled to nearly 7 figures by posting less and testing everything inside of her business and community. You can get in on this business-changing discussion by binging the 3-part mini docu-series Natasha filmed, and you can take it a step further and come join the 50-plus women who have said yes to getting a seat at the 2-hour live lesson called The Social Experiment. Inside this lesson, Natasha will be unpacking the entire journey, the low moments, the high moments, the data, real and raw stories, and giving you direct tactics that you can apply in your very own business. Step into this new era, your new era. Purchase your ticket now and join us on Thursday, October 6th. It's linked in our show notes or over on Instagram at Natasha Zorick. Linked in our bio. See you there.
Number four, I have failed on my end, okay, to vet proper team members. And from that, just in 2021 and a little bit of 2022, I'm going to drop the number of how much money I have lost due to those big mess ups that I've had. I've lost well over $50,000. So I just collectively, in the span of, I'd say, 14 months, yeah, $50,000 of just total work that I paid for that I could not use. Very disheartening. And yeah, I mess up. That happens. You hone in on your skills of how to hire, how to actually find your like it people, your soul aligned team members, your non-negotiables. I look at hiring team members like dating. You have like your set vision and you can't budge on it. You cannot budge. And it has to be so unique to you. And you got to like figure out your love languages of what you need and your gaps and errors in yourself and your shortcomings. And how can someone like be the yin to your yang? And it takes a lot of practice, a trial and error. But yeah, I've lost out. I've had so many team members that just like were not it. Caused a lot of anxiety and stress and messed up emails that went out. Poor client experience where I had to take the bullet and tell the client that I messed up because I didn't want to blame my team. I'm not that type of CEO or manager. I'm not that type of leader. I'll take the hit. But I had to deal with a lot of backlash at times when something didn't go right. Wrong contract, wrong payment plan. People like got double charged or something. It's the name of the game. And I've also lost out. I don't want to do that, is count how much money I've lost since 2019 in my two businesses. That'd be disgusting. So we're not even going to go there. But in 2021 and a little bit of 2022, it was well over $50,000. So you're not alone if you've experienced that. Number five, not a single soul. So this is dating back now, like real early, like this is 2019. Okay. Not a single soul bought my Instagram kit when I launched it for the first time. You want to know what? A bitch was delusional. I thought I was going to launch this. Everyone was going to just stop. Everyone was going to stop what they're doing in their day. Driving, they were literally going to pull over, be like, roll out the red carpet, whip out the credit card. Natasha is launching the Instagram kit. I don't know what it is, but I'm going to buy it right now. That's quite literally what I thought. Like, was I manic? Clearly. So yeah, I have launched and I have seen absolute crickets and not got a single purchase. I feel like tons of people, maybe you've been there where you've launched, you were so excited, you really, really gave it your all. You thought you were going to be the baddest bitch on IG. Everyone was going to be like, wow, oh my God. And you were going to hit a six-figure launch. And then you got jack shit and you were very embarrassed. And then you're all of a sudden your relationship with launching was toxic and you hated it and you wanted to throw your business. Just burn that bitch. Am I speaking to your soul? Yeah, I was right there with you. And that was one of my, at the time, biggest mess ups. And I was quite embarrassed. But do you want to know what I'm going to say about all of my five lessons and my main lesson that I have for you from this episode is that I was playing you, okay? Because not a single one of those were an actual mess up. Not a single one of those were a failure or a fuck up. Because the greatest opportunity that you will ever be faced with within your business is failure. That is the best opportunity you will ever be presented with. The customer experience that is found and the magic that occurs when you present the solution to your client and audience after that mess up is going to stick and show so much more rapport, is gonna gain so much more respect if that issue didn't occur. A stat actually proved that 87% of consumers said that they ended up buying, and they weren't going to buy, but they ended up buying from this company because the way they dealt with the issue. The customer experience was so stellar in a moment of panic, in a moment of error and not so good vibes in the onboarding process. And instead of replying and just ditching it or just continuing with the bad customer experience or not owning up. They owned up and handled it with so much grace or humor, and the client ended up converting because of that. 87%. That's a high number. And then, so another thing of why I don't see it as a failure or any of those were a mess up is because in each, and I'm going to break down now, in each and every step from 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, my next step after that big mess up, okay, my action and results were 10 times more powerful and strategically driven. And I saw the most growth. I saw, if you want to say what the energetic girlies say, like a quantum leap after that mess up. And if that didn't occur, I wouldn't be here right now. I wouldn't be sitting in 7 figures. I wouldn't be sitting in my first business, multi-6. It wouldn't have happened. But the only reason as well that I'm sitting here and saying that is because my mindset. I didn't let those mess ups drag me down for weeks on end or want to quit, or I didn't let it control my next step in the sense of, wow, I'm a fucking failure. I can't do that. That's embarrassing. I just need to burn my business. I got to shut it down. It's not working. So if it didn't work, I just proved my brain that has been telling me that I'm going to fail. I proved all my little limiting beliefs right. I validated my belief system. So therefore, I'm just a bag of dicks. That's what you're telling yourself. You're like, ah, oh, I ain't shit. I'm really not that bitch. But here's the thing. So the goodie box debacle, number one, how did I turn that issue into an amazing, amazing solution? Maybe not with this round, but afterwards, after going through that experience and illuminating some of my biggest pain points within myself, I realized I can never do that. I took on a task that was never going to be completed by me. I can't expect that of myself because it's not in my wheelhouse. And it was a great tip for myself as a CEO that we think we have to wear all the hats when you're the owner, but the sooner you realize someone can do your job 10 times quicker, better, and faster than you, the quicker you're going to scale, the more you're going to be successful. No one has ever made it to the top alone. So what did I do? Is I went and I outsourced it. I found the most incredible goodie box source. And she creates luxury, Artie Fox. She's incredible. I love her. I'm going to put her in the show notes. She's based out of Toronto, Canada, and she creates luxury boxes for clients. And I do that. I have it all in my ClickUp system. When I have a one-on-one client that gets onboarded, you get it. When I have a mastermind client, you get that. And team members, when you're onboarded, you get that. When it's your birthday, you get it. I'm very, very thoughtful in that sense. Like, I love giving goodie boxes. So after going through that gruesome experience and realizing that, hey, I am not, I ain't shit in that area. I cannot do it. It is not my forte, never will be. I have no desire. But I had a desire to spoil my clients and my team members. I was like, great, outsource. I don't have to do it. So I didn't do it. And it's a business expense. So potato, potato. Thank you. Number two, when I messed up the spelling in my logo. Okay, here's a mindset thing that I learned. I could have focused on that and threw in the towel because I didn't at that point hit like the crazy, crazy numbers yet in my launch. I could have been so embarrassed and just shut shop down and been like, okay, bye, peace. Like, that was horrific. I'm going under a rock now. No, I pushed through. And I made fun of myself. Self-deprecating humor is one of my things that I love doing. If you can't laugh at yourself, what are you doing? So then I made a huge gag of myself. I just laughed. I called myself out instead of hiding it. I presented it even further to my audience. And I was like, how are you bitches not going to sit here and tell me that I had this word spelled wrong the whole time? The audacity of you, your fake friends. And everyone was dying. They were dying. It got people in my DMs. Everyone was laughing with me. They're like, oh my God, that's so relatable. I've been there. Do you want to know what happened? I finished with nearly 100 women into passive profits and I had a $54,000 launch and I made $20,000 on my upsell. And that really happened after I called myself out and I disarmed the energy midway through the launch. That's what happened. So instead of focusing on my mishap, I focused on how could I turn this pain point and this issue into a win to open up the connector points with my audience and just laugh at myself and not take it too seriously. Who gives a shit at the end of the day? Who gives a shit? And that happened. So that mindset shift, next time you have an issue, how can you look at the positive of it, right? Number three, took too many clients on and burned myself out. Wow, what an amazing experience to go through. Because from that, I told myself I will never put myself through that. And I created the most magical mastermind from that. I said, mastermind round two is going to be the most phenomenal experience ever. And it was just that. You can go Google me, Natasha Zorich, and go look at them, click newest. Tons of those reviews are about the mastermind. The women were so connected and obsessed with the framework of it that they demanded I extend it by 2 extra months. That one of my clients in there actually stole with approval, full out approval, the framework because she was so obsessed with how I laid it out, and she actually replicated it in her brand new business. And she actually replicated it in her brand new business venture. And she told me privately in the DM, she's like, "You have pushed me to be a better coach because of this. Like, you really go all in. Like, I haven't experienced that ever, ever." She's like, "You made me realize that I'm not giving enough to my clients. Like, I can be showing up for them in so many more ways. The way you formulated things, the questions you asked, the time that you gave to give us, and the way you went in on our business was just like never, I've never experienced that. So thank you. Like, you have opened my eyes to true coaching and mentorship." That was incredible. And that wouldn't have happened if I didn't have the big, big wake up call in the first mastermind. And if I didn't reach rock bottom, I wouldn't have revisited my business model and came back 10 times stronger with so much more knowledge and integrity. And exactly from knowing what you don't want, there's so much power in that. Because, and even if we want to bring it to Abraham Hicks manifestation, when you find resistance, that brings direct contrast to your actual desire list, your actual wants. And talk about manifestation and talk about downloads. I had so many downloads because I was so clear on what I didn't want. So then I was therefore so clear on what I do want. And I created the most phenomenal custom hybrid mastermind that I personally have ever seen. And what my clients also championed out, that they loved it and they'll be back for more. Number four, too, again, now, so how I didn't vet team members well enough and I lost out on money. Cool, I lost out of money. That I don't focus on that. Instead, what I learned, just similar to my other point, what I did not love and what I didn't need, I have learned what I do need. I have found the most nourishing, supportive clients ever now. I know the people I need right by my side for each and every role, especially Rain, my EA. This girl just today was like, "Natasha, it's 4 a.m. in Dubai, but I'm studying your podcast so I can really, really immerse myself in your world. And I'm watching the replays of your sales expert mini mime because I'm in awe of what you do. And I swear it's not obsessed." She's like, "I just really, really want to show up for you." My in-house designer, Crystal, same thing. My OBM, Tati, same thing. Every single team member I have shows up and shows dedicated care to my business as if it's their own. That was something I wanted in every team member before, and I never got it. And I said, if I hire someone, they need to give a shit about my business more, almost more than I do. And they have, every single one. And they're my forever people. I'm planning on bringing Tati on 110% full-time and paying her a really, really nice fat salary because she's my people. I love her so much. I love every single one of my team members now, and I really make sure to love on them and be the best possible CEO and manager I possibly can for them because I love them. So now they love me, right? It's just like such a positive, healthy, trusted, nourishing relationship I have with all of them. And now they all have that too. Just like dating, right? If we want to bring it to that, you figured out who your partner needs to be, the qualities that you really, really admire, the qualities that you find sexy, the qualities that you need in order to build a life with this person. I figured out the qualities I need in my team member in order to scale and live a life within my business with them. Goes hand in hand. So that came from those mishaps. Number five, when not a single person bought my Instagram kit and I heard freaking crickets. Want to know what happened the next time I launched? That was for Passive Profits, and that was the one where I got nearly 100 women in. I learned from my first launch, and I did everything ass backwards. I did everything opposite of what I did, and I saw so much success. That was one of the biggest pivotal moments in my business and authority builders, because people were like, okay, she hi, Natasha's entered the room. She knows what she's doing. She just popped out of the woodworks here and was like, hello, hello, how y'all doing? And she came out with this big launch, like, and throwing these numbers. Like, that's crazy. Haven't done that before. And, you know, we kind of remember the Instagram kid, eh? So it's a little sensitive topic. But they, you know, I showed up. Huge authority builder there. And, but also after that, what I went on and I gathered information from the first launch, I ended up selling hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of copies of the Instagram kit passively. So I might have not been successful the first round. And what a lot of people do is when they fail at a launch, they ditch that offer. They say, well, that was a bust. That's dead in my product suite. Time to create something new, right? So now over time, another big thing I did was I sold hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of copies of the Instagram kit passively. I brought this and used it strategically with speaking, organic funnels. I used it all over as upsells. It's just sold organically, evergreen. And what a lot of people do is when they fail at a launch, they now trump that offer in their suite as just dead. Like they're like, nope, they chuck it. They say, this is useless. I failed at the launch. That was a bust. No, your marketing just sucked, girly. Your marketing just sucked, but the product's so much better. Just because you didn't sell anything doesn't mean it's not going to be sold. You just have to fix your messaging and your energy and how you're launching. That's it. So over time, I knew it was incredible. I knew at the time the industry needed it. So I just honed it and I fixed my messaging. I reframed and I said, this wasn't going to be a big launch. I'm going to sell it in other ways. It's going to be a great stepping stone in my product suite. And it was just that. And then I went on and crushed my launch. And when I made $20,000 on the upsell, guess what the upsell was for passive profits? The Instagram kit, because it went hand in hand. And so that is the beauty in my five mess ups and my five incredible encounters that I've had in business that grew me, that stretched me, that evolved me to be a better founder, to build up my entrepreneurial IQ, to give me access to what serves me, my weak spots, my blind spots, showed me how to launch, showed me how to laugh at myself and not take business too serious. It showed me how to find my lifelong people and team members. It made me who I am today. It made me Natasha Zorich, the seven-figure mentor. And so now I want you to look at your business like that. I want you to stop beating yourself up over the things you've messed up on. Stop harboring all those things. You're putting too much pressure on yourself, my love. You have to release that. And I really want you to sit down and just kind of be real with yourself and start physically writing out, just kind of like I did when I mapped this podcast out. Write out your mishap or your big fuck up that you've been holding on and like still just being so hard on yourself. Now write out the positive that came from it. What did you gain? What did you learn? What skill were you able to refine and get a little bit better at because of it? Because of that big mess up, how are you so much better now as a human being, as a business owner? Like, I really want you to get real. Write it out, because that has been scientifically proven to really stick in your brain and help your thought process now rewire that in your belief system. And I want you to just be more graceful on yourself. So those are my five, that's my hot take on my five big moments I've messed up, and then bamboozling you with how they're not mess ups and kind of doing a little mindset work with you and reframing the outlook on that. So I hope you enjoyed today's episode and I'll see you in the next one. Thank you for listening to the Tash Talks podcast. My name is Natasha Zorich, and I encourage you to be an audacious leader in both your life and business. If you love tuning in, please leave us a review on Apple Podcasts and follow along at www.natashazorich.com/podcast and over on Instagram at natasha.zorich. See you soon.